A very good morning to you, son and daughter of the Most High God. The peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you, Steve. Glad there's one person in the body that shares my sentiments this morning. Ek weet nie van julle nie, maar ek is baie, baie bly om julle te sien. Hierdie kerk is nou hopeloos te stil vir oggend. Ek wil graag hê dat julle mekaar groet. Groet mekaar ernstig met Jesus se liefde. Ten minste drie mense. Celine?
Ernstig.
Yes, ek is ernstig. Ja, so vind net jy. How's it, Jules? Funky girl. Sure. Hallelujah. It's my privilege again to pick up with our theme series on holiness. It's week 4. You've started the timer already. That's very unfair. So there's already a minute and 30 seconds gone, and I haven't even started preaching yet. Just to recap where we are, we're speaking about holiness. Our theme scripture is Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, and it says, pursue peace with all men, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. I see that hand. God bless you. Okay. Leon, you're speaking out of turn, sir. Thank God that's not allowed. In fact, I go so... You see, the older I get, the faster I was. I go slow, so slow around the track now, they time me with a calendar and not even a stopwatch anymore. But just to recap, we looked at four steps or four keys or four principles in our pursuit of holiness. We looked at the fact that God has called us to live separately. We looked at the fact that we are called to look at Jesus and stay focused on Jesus instead of saying focus on our sins. We looked at the fact that in our pursuit of holiness, God wants us to learn to hate sin instead of just fearing its consequences. And last but by no means least, we looked at the fact that God has called us to have holiness from within and not as a result of trying to obey man-made rules and regulations from the outside. This morning I'd like to give us a fresh understanding or fresh definition or fresh explanation of what the word holiness means. So are you ready for that this morning? Turn to your neighbor and say, are you holy? Don't give them an opportunity to answer that. Just ask them the question. Are you holy? Holiness means facing and overcoming our toughest crisis of faith. For those of you that like attention to detail, there's a definition. Holiness means facing and overcoming our toughest crisis of faith. This morning we're going to take a look at the lives of 7 people who faced their toughest crisis of faith in life and overcame it. And I submit to you that in the light of what we've been speaking about, what holiness means, holiness is just that. Holiness doesn't mean that when they take a picture of you in the photo, you'll see that there's this halo above your head here. Dan vra hulle, hey, het jy dit gesien? Is dit Photoshop? Nee, die persoon moet my heilig wees. You see pictures like that, isn't it? You see pictures where people have this like halo. No. Holiness means facing your toughest crisis of faith and overcoming it. First person I'd like to look at is a guy called Abraham. I'm going to give you some scriptures just to write down. We're not going to look at all of them for the sake of time to go through these folks. You see, each one of us are going to get to a time in our lives and a place in our lives where we are completely overwhelmed with our crisis of faith. You are completely overwhelmed by the situation and the challenge that you are facing. And in preparation for this, God reminded me of that old song. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That song sounded much, much, much better. But I'm doing my best this morning, and I don't have a throat infection. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Out of the Message paraphrase this morning, come with me to Psalm 61. In the Message paraphrase, Psalm 61, the psalmist writes and says, God, listen to my shout. Bend an ear to my prayer. When I'm far from anywhere, down to my last gasp, I call out, guide me up High Rock Mountain. You've always given me breathing room, a place to get away from it all. A lifetime pass to your safe house. An open invitation as your guest. You've always taken me seriously. God made me welcome among those who know and love you. Let the days of the king add up to years and years of good rule. Set his throne in the full light of God. Post steady love and good faith as lookouts. And I'll be the poet who sings your glory and live what I sing every day. The New King James, verse 2 says, when my heart, not if my heart is overwhelmed, when. Met ander woorde, dis nie 'n kwessie van gaan dit met my gebeur, maar dis 'n kwessie van wanneer dit met my gaan gebeur. We all going to have to face a crisis of faith in our lives to determine whether we are people that are going to be holy and different in this day and age. We looked at the fact that holiness, amongst other things, means being separate, being somehow different. So the psalmist says in verse 2, Psalm 61 in the New King James, when, not if, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Why is it a rock? A rock speaks of steadfastness, immovability, strength, not changing, not yet today and gone tomorrow. Steadfastness. The scripture teaches that Jesus Christ is our rock. And the psalmist says that when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. You can just write that down. The first person we look at this morning is Abraham. And God gives a promise to Abraham that his descendants will inherit the promised land. You can see that in Genesis 12, verse 1 and verse 7. And Abraham didn't even see this come to pass in his own lifetime. But he chose to believe God. God makes promises to him about his descendants and he's past the age of being able to conceive kids. But he chose to believe God. Why? Abraham saw into the future. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 to 10, you can see it says, Abraham saw a land whose foundations are made by God. Folks, they were staying in tents at that time. Hulle het nie geweet van geboue van fondasies nie. So God tells you when you pitched your tent, and I'm going to take you to a land. He gives him a promise. And Abraham saw with the eyes of faith into the future, a city built by God whose foundations are made by God. You can see that in Hebrews 11, 8 to 10. Abraham faced a crisis of faith and he overcame it. He overcame it by choosing to believe God. God says to him, I'm sending you somewhere. Pack up everything you got here. Everything you used to. Leave it all. Where am I going, Lord? Doesn't matter. Just go. He didn't even know. Imagine what it was like for his wife, Sarah. Husband comes home and says, we're leaving everything behind. Alles, alles, alles wat vir ons belangrik is. Ons mense, our comfort zones, everything. Everything we know, we're leaving it all behind. That's great, love, but where are we going? I don't know, just follow. How many of you women would have obediently followed? I think 2018 women would have given him serious lip. Warra, 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 instead of following obediently. He's the man of God, he's the head of the home, let me my follow. I know the woman in this church would have obeyed. You know other women in other churches that it would have given him lip service. Ja, maar. As jy mal, het jy jou kop verloor. You don't even know where we're going. No, but I know that God has spoken. He overcame his crisis of faith. And look how many people were blessed through the faith of Abraham. We are Abraham's descendants through faith. Second person, Moses. Called by God to be a deliverer of God's people, to get them out of sinful bondage. He's known as the great lawgiver. No other prophet has been before him or since him, where God speaks to oak face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Nobody like Pastor Moses. But Pastor Moses had a little bit of an issue, like us. He had a problem with his temper. He murdered the Egyptian. He killed the Egyptian. He had ingemeng in a boksery, boksgeveg wat nie syne was nie. He got involved there. Then he takes the tablets of stone that God made and he goes and breaks them. Then God tells him to speak to the rock and get water out. Moses in his temper, hy slat die rots twee keer. He had a temper issue and God says, okay, because of that, I'll take you to the promise, you'll be able to see it, but you won't be able to enter the promised land. Moses faced a crisis of faith as well. You can see this in Numbers 20, verse 11 to 12, the waters of Meribah. And then Deuteronomy 32, verse 51 to 52. I say this, it's possible that Moses was content with just seeing the promised land. Why? Because Moses had a desire for more. You see, I submit to you that he was interested in more than just a lekker bly plek. Waar Eskom altyd werk, die paai is mooi, daar's geen potholes, daar's altyd sel ontvangs en dinge is maar net lekker. Jy kry die dienste waarvoor jy betaal, die regering is sharp. He wanted more than that. He says, God, I want to see your glory. And he says, God, I'm not going to go anywhere unless your presence comes with us. What was more important to Moses than anything else? The glory of God and the presence of God. These were things that were important to Moses. And God says, no, no, no. God promised his abiding presence. You can see that in Exodus 33, verse 12 to 33. And God lets Moses see the physical face of his spirit body, not the fullness of his glory. And he says, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock and I'm going to cover you, that as I pass by, you can just catch a glimpse of my glory. And that was sufficient for Moses. So I submit to you, it was okay for Moses. God took him, he says, go up on this mountain. Read the scripture. He says, go up on the mountain and die. God tunes us out. Go up on the mountain and die. Wow. And he goes up there and he says, there's the land I was telling you about, but you're not going to enter in. I know I would have been like, oh, Lord, oh, please, man. I just want to go in, Dad. Come on, man. I'm sorry I lost my temper. I'm sorry I killed the Egyptian. I'm sorry I broke your tablet. I'll get you a new iPad. I'm sorry I hit the rock. Moses is like, he checks the land out and he's okay. Why? He'd seen the face of God. And he got a promise of the presence of God. God said, your presence will always be with you. My presence will be with you. And he was okay with that. Moses faced his crisis of faith. Third person this morning is Samson. Samson called by God to be a deliverer of his people, one of the judges in Scripture. The people didn't want a relationship with somebody. They wanted a judge. God says, you want rechters? He saw, he has a judge, have Samson. Very, very strong man. Physically very strong. Not strong enough to say no to woman. He loses his strength. His eyes get plucked out and his life ends with God's favor returning to him and his strength is restored. See Judges 16, verse 28 to 30, that story there. You see, he also faced a crisis of faith. God told him specifics. Hy het hom nie daaraan geag nie. He's disobedient, he loses his strength, gets his eyes plucked out, thrown into bondage and slavery, and he says, God, just one more time. Just one more time. Samson's hair grows back while he's standing between the pillars of the palace where the Philistines are celebrating, and his hair grows back, sign of the covenant of God's promise and favor upon his life. And he pushes those pillars apart. The building collapses, and more people were killed in the moment of restoration of Samson's favor than all the people he killed in the time he was alive when he was obeying God. Samson faced the crisis of faith and overcame it. Person number four is King David. David faces a crisis of faith. He's called a man after God's own heart. He squanders his leadership platform. You see, the scripture teaches us that every platform of leadership and every place of authority is from God. And if you live in South Africa, you will know that it's not always exercised in a godly way. But that platform of authority is still from God. You don't believe it. I'm going to say it again. That platform of authority is still from God. The scripture teaches us that all authority is from God. It's a platform from which people can influence other people. It's not always exercised in a godly way. Yet to David gets given a platform of authority. He abuses that platform of authority. He abuses his leadership platform, commits murder, commits adultery, and humbly asks God for total restoration. He says, God, I'm sorry. And we see David's prayer of repentance in Psalm 51. God restores David's favor back to him, and he still uses him as a king. He still uses him because he knew David's heart. David had a heart after God. He faced his crisis of faith, and he overcame. Person number five is Peter. I love Peter. I can relate to him because he spoke before he thought. I know you aren't like that, but I battle with that. Speaking before I think. He receives beautiful affirmation from Jesus that he's received divine revelation. Jesus says to him, not of any other disciple, man hasn't revealed this to you. Heaven has shown you that I am the Christ, heaven's anointed one. And you can imagine Peter getting this affirmation from Jesus in front of all the other disciples, like, yes, boys, check me. I've got leather colors, except Jesus just said, ek hoor van die hemel af. Jesus, julle nie. Ek hoor van die hemel af. Moments later, Jesus rebukes him and says, get behind me, Satan. And then he promises, Jesus, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And he goes and does the very thing that he promised not to do. He denies Jesus three times. Jesus then restores him by getting him to say, I love you, Lord, three times. And in his first sermon, he leads 3,000 people to the Lord Jesus. How many of you led 3,000 souls to Jesus the first time you preached the gospel? Peter faced the crisis of faith, and he overcame it. Person number six this morning. Turn to the person to your left and to your right, and behind you and in front of you. That's person number six. I want to ask you these questions this morning. Those scripture references for Peter, you can see in Matthew 16, verse 17, verse 23, Matthew 26 and verse 70, and then John 21, 15 to 17, Acts 2, verse 14 to 41. If I'm reading way too fast for you, get your butt in a weekly care group, or get the recording from the sound guys. Those scripture verses are there. So we all, like these characters, will most certainly face our crisis of faith sometime. We're going to have to overcome it. Because as we started off by saying this morning, a new, fresh understanding of holiness is facing your crisis of faith and overcoming it. So I ask you this morning, what is the toughest crisis of faith you've faced so far, up to now? Did you overcome it? Are you ready for the next crisis of faith? You see, we can have complete faith and confidence in future victory because Jesus Christ enables us to overcome. I submit to you this morning, folks, we all will have to overcome our greatest crisis of faith. When we do that, you'll experience the miraculous in your life and in the lives of people around you. The miraculous being, bringing the unchurched into the family of God to advance his kingdom. That's a miracle. Bringing an unchurched person into the family of God to advance God's kingdom. When we face our crisis of faith and we overcome it, the miraculous will come to pass in our lives and then the lives of those around us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. We're going to read that now. It says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. By us facing crises of faith, it's the only way for us to grow from glory to glory until Christ is formed in us. The character and nature of Jesus Christ is not always going to be developed when everything is always going according to plan in our lives. Think about that. The character and the nature of Jesus is not always going to be formed in us when everything is always going according to our plans in our lives. Oftentimes, it's going to come when we're facing our crisis of faith and our greatest crisis in life. If we stand true, solid and faithful, and we're overcome, the world will look at you and see you are holy. You are different. The scripture says we're all being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. The NLT second edition says, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. I love the way it puts it there. It says it will continue. It will continue until we come to that place where the maturity of Christ is developed in us. So we ask ourselves the question, what's your greatest crisis of faith that you've faced so far? Did you overcome it? And are you ready for the next one? It's a daunting thought, isn't it? Maybe jy kan jou nog nie vereenselwig met dit wat so ernstig is nie. Jy dink, ja, Mazie, ek het nooit eintlik so iets beleef nie. Tot so ver in my wandel met Christus is dinge maar heel sharp. That's great. Stick around. Stick around. The scripture speaks of 7 baptisms. One of them is the baptism of fire. Wait till you go through the baptism of fire. Dan gesels ons weer. Why is it so quiet now? It is a good time to encourage the preacher by saying, yes, brother, preach it. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. I used to think of Jesus in this way, that Jesus, you could do what you do because you had an unfair advantage. You, God. That's why you could do what you did. But you see, Jesus is just as much man as he is God. He's the God-man. He's the God-man. So we being the sixth person this morning is going to face a crisis of faith. Jesus too, the man part of Jesus, faced exactly the same thing. Scripture reference for that, just write it down. 1 Timothy verse 2 and 5 says that we have one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus. The man part of Jesus faced his crisis of faith in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he said, Matthew 26 and verse 39, the NLT second edition says, he went on a little farther and bowed his face to the ground, praying, Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Jesus, like us, was faced with choices every day. Am I going to do it my way or God's way? What would have happened to us if Jesus gave up in the garden and said, Here, hulle wil elk geval nie hoor wat ek te sê het nie. Laat hulle maar hel toe. Think about that. Think of what had happened in Jesus' life up to that point. The very people he came to save were the ones that said, crucify him. The very people he came to save. Wat sou jy gedoen het in daai situasie? Waar jy weet, jou minute hardloop uit. Daai uurglasie, that hourglass, daar's net 'n paar korreltjies sand oor before your life is over. And you have a choice. You actually have a choice. To die in everyone's place or say, it's okay. Laat hulle my help toe. He faced his crisis of faith. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't tap out? Aren't you glad Jesus didn't tap out? So God asks us this morning, your crisis of faith, are you ready for it? Because I want to say this, and this gets to the crunchy, raunchy part of the message this morning. Let's say you're at a place in your life right now where you faced your greatest crisis of faith and you overcome it, and you overcame it. Great. Guess what? The test of the next one is going to be bigger. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? The test of the next one, church, is going to be bigger. You see, God is a master builder, and he's a God who builds and progresses. He goes forward. Hy boer nie agter uit nie. The whole concept of the gospel is about improvement. Think about that. The whole concept of the gospel is about improvement. Being in darkness, onder Eskom, of coming into the light. and you'll be all right. Having pain and suffering with no end in sight, or starting off worst case scenario, having at least at the very least hope in your life. God is about that. So what you've overcome, the next test that you're going to face is going to be bigger. Why? Because you've become just a little bit more like Jesus. You've learned a little bit more maturity, a little bit more spiritual development in your life. I want to say this, ladies and gentlemen, because every one of these characters took a stand of holiness, the lives of many were changed for the good. How about you? Are you making an uncompromising stand for holiness in your life? I said an uncompromising stand for holiness. An uncompromising stand for holiness in your life. Because these characters did, their lives and lives were many for changed for the good. Your marriage, your immediate household, your extended family, your workplace, your care group, your chapter, your neighborhood, your city, your country is waiting for you to make an uncompromising stand for holiness so that the kingdom of God can be brought about and established in the lives of those around you. So, God asks you this morning, what are you doing about it? Don't answer me now. Your family, your marriage, your household, your neighborhood, your care group, your chapter, your church, your workplace, your country is waiting for you. You. To make an uncompromising stand for holiness. Moenie worry oor die karrelam. Niemand gaan niks steel hierso nie. Chillax. What are you doing about it? Make an uncompromising stand for holiness. Romans chapter 8 and verse 19. The NLT says this, second edition. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who His children really are. In context, this verse is speaking about the time when God is finally going to lift the curse of the law of sin and death over the whole planet. You can read it in context there. But right now, where you are today in your walk with God, where are you in terms of that? The King James says that all of creation waits with eager expectation for the revealing of the sons and the daughters of God. They're waiting for men and women like you and me to stand up and make an uncompromising stand for holiness here and now. When you face your crisis, your biggest crisis of faith in your life, and you overcome it, holiness will be brought about in your life. What are you doing about it? If you're in a place in your life, you're thinking, Mozzie, there's tests that I've written and I've failed them. That's okay. What makes it possible for us to overcome it, as we enter into a time of worship together, is the good news. It says, we read the scripture in Hebrews, that Jesus Christ is not a high priest, but onverskillig is teenoor ons moeilikhede en ons laste as mense. He went through everything we ever can possibly go through, and more. And more. And He overcame. So when we place ourselves under the Lordship, guidance, leading and obedience of Jesus in humble submission, Jesus, by His Spirit, will enable you to overcome your crisis of faith one at a time. You'll grow in holiness, that you can live a blessed life and the lives of those around you. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads in prayer as we pray together? Let's get ready to worship the Lord one more time. You're sitting there. You know the tests that you've written and that you've faced and perhaps failed. And say, Lord, I could have done that a little bit better, or I could have done things a little bit differently. That's fine. Right there where you're seated, just ask the Lord for forgiveness for that. We heard this morning that God is interested in developing our character to become more and more like Jesus. And there'll come a time where you have to face another crisis of faith. You want God to strengthen you and enable you to overcome that as well. Right there where you're seated. I want to pray with you as you pray in your heart. And say, Lord, I understand that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit that I can overcome these things. It's not because I'm clever or I've learned a few things or I've been taught a few things. And those things help, Lord. But there's a time, Lord God, where I need the intervention of your spirit in my life to help me overcome. And Lord, my marriage, my closest relationships, my family, my church, the care group, the chapter, my workplace, the city, the town where I live, the country, is waiting for men and women to stand up and be counted as holy sons and daughters of God. If you want to commit to that this morning in your heart, right there where you're seated, pray like that to the Lord. And say, Lord, here I am. Enable me by your Spirit to make that stand. I don't want to say some superficial prayer because that's what people are praying in church this morning. Lord, I really want to be somebody that makes a difference in other people's lives, Lord. Right there where you're seated, you do business with God and you pray along those lines this morning. Lord, as we seek your face together, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you equip every man and woman here this morning, Lord God, within the confines of these walls. Holy Spirit, you distribute gifts in the body as and where it's needed. The body knows exactly what it needs to. Every member is a minister. And I pray, Lord God, right now that you stir up the gifts in your sons and daughters that have been laying dormant, Lord, in the name of Jesus. That you get them to a place of faith and trust in you, Lord God. That they will live out what has been dwelling dormantly in their hearts up to now, in the name of Jesus. The things that they understand and know in their mind, Lord God, would they bring them into practice in their lives, in the name of Jesus, and will they make a public stand of holiness in their lives and the areas of influence and the circles of influence that you have given them, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, those who have been trapped by fear, those who have been hindered by doubt, Lord God, and have reservations about what they can and cannot do. Remind them this morning, Lord God, of who they are in Christ Jesus. Remind them, Lord God, that they can do all things through you who strengthens them in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, those whose flames have just gone a little bit cooler and the embers of the coals are dwindling, Lord God, would you fan into flame that first love again, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And let sons and daughters rise up. Let them rise up in their families. Let them rise up in their homes. Let them rise up in the schools and universities, Lord. Let them rise up in the factories and in the marketplace in the world as they go about doing business. The businessmen and women in this place, Lord, let them rise up and make an uncompromising stand for holiness in this world of compromise, Lord God. And as a church, Lord God, would you raise us up, Lord God, to have spiritual governmental authority over the principalities and powers that are keeping people in bondage, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Rise us up, Lord God, to fulfill the place that you've destined us to fulfill in the motorcycling community in which we find ourselves, Lord. Help us, Lord God, to win motorcyclists, their friends and families and the lost and the unchurched. Bring them into your kingdom one heart at a time, Lord God, that your kingdom can be advanced. In the name of Jesus Christ. These things we pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you hear our prayers this morning. You know what's going on inside our hearts, Lord God. And Father, I pray that you open the eyes of our understanding and you give us discernment just to see, just a glimpse, like Moses, Lord God. He had a hunger inside of him for more. He wasn't satisfied with mediocre or average. He wanted more. I pray for a godly dissatisfaction in every person here this morning, that they no longer settle for average, that they no longer settle for, okay, but that they will want more. Create in us, Lord God, a hunger and a thirst for more of you and more of the things of God. Create in us a hunger and a thirst for a greater anointing of your Spirit upon our lives, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. and give us just a glimpse. Just a glimpse, Lord God, of what you have in store for us when we step out in obedience and in faith, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus. And if you're seated here this morning and you're uncertain about your future in this country, uncertain about your future in the workplace, you've got uncertainty about your salvation, where you're going to spend eternity. If there's anybody like that this morning, I want you to raise your hand. Uncertainty about jy weet nie of jy nog werk gaan hê einde van die maand of einde van die jaar. You're uncertain about anything. And it's not necessarily a fear, but I just sense the word coming up in my spirit is anxiety. And if you're anxious this morning, daar's 'n bietjie angstigheid daarso. Raise your hand. Anybody like that here this morning, I'd love to pray with you. There's several hands going up. Bless you. Bless you. You can put your hands down. I don't want to speak this word into your life this morning. Satan, we want to tell you that God has said to us that we must be anxious for nothing, but with all forms of prayer and requests, with thanksgiving, that we must make our requests known to God. So Satan, we want to tell you, we will not fall for your lies and your deception and your thoughts of doubt and your schemes to trap us up. We choose to believe God's word today. And with thanksgiving, we pray to God. We say, God, bring us peace where there's anxiety in the name of Jesus Christ. We know Proverbs teaches us that anxiety causes depression in the heart of man. I believe it's Proverbs 4 verse 13. I'm not 100% sure of the street address of that. But it says anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. And we speak to that anxiety this morning in the name of Jesus, and we declare that it goes now in the name of Jesus. And let your peace, not as the world gives, your peace, Jesus, because you're the Prince of Peace, let your peace come upon those who are anxious this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Nou, ek voel net om te sê, as jy jou hand opgesteek het, nee, dan wonder jy vir jouself, maar ek het nou net so gebid en ek het al van tevore gebid, maar ek voel nie beter nie. I want to tell you, it's got nothing to do with your feelings, my brother, my sister. This is a spiritual truth, not a fleshly sensation. The truth of the Spirit of God's Word is that you can be anxious for nothing, but in all forms of prayers and requests, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And thank you for your peace upon those this morning, Lord, in the name of Jesus. If you're seated here this morning and you're not sure that you're going to live forever, you're not sure that you're going to share an eternity with Jesus, if there's anybody like that, raise your hand this morning. Anybody? Anybody? Okay, bless you. Would you stand together? I want to pray the final prayer of blessing over us as we worship the Lord one more time. Just a reminder, the meet and greet with the leadership immediately after the service across the road, please. Remember to join us for some coffee and tea. If I think things have been packed away, I saw some lekkernye was vir oggend beskikbaar. Ek weet nie of daar nog oor is, ons uitverkoop. Well then just meet introduce yourself to a stranger. A stranger is just a friend that you've not yet met. Let's worship the Lord together. Thank you for joining us this morning. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you in a special way, a unique way. And may God give you peace this week that surpasses all understanding. Do it to them before they do it to you, and show random acts of kindness to somebody net omdat jy kan. God bless you, love and appreciate you. Looking forward to seeing you same time, same place next week.